Good morning and happy Sabbath. Welcome back to the Central Point and Shady Point Seventh-day Adventist Church worship service. We're so happy that you joined us today, so please help us sing this first song, My Jesus, I Love Thee.
Jesus, I love thee, I know thou art mine, for thee all the follies of sin I resign, my gracious Redeemer, my Savior art thou. Jesus, 'tis now. I love thee because thou hast first loved me and purchased my pardon on Calvary's tree. I love thee for wearing the thorns on thy brow. If ever I love thee, my Jesus, 'tis now. I'll love thee and I will love long as thou lendest me breath, and say when the death dew lies cold on my brow, if ever I love thee, my Jesus, 'tis now. In mansions of glory and endless delight, I'll ever adore thee in heaven so bright. I'll sing with the glittering crown on my brow. If ever I love thee, my Jesus, 'tis
heart of God, a place where sin cannot molest, near to the heart of God. Oh, Jesus, blessed Redeemer, sent from the heart of God. Oh, those who wait before thee, near to the heart of God. There is a place of comfort sweet, near to the heart of God. A place where we our Savior meet, near to the heart of God. Oh, Jesus, blessed Redeemer, sent from the heart of God.
to the heart of God.
There is a place of full release near to the heart of God. A place where all is joy and peace near to the heart of God. Oh, Jesus, blessed Redeemer, sent from the heart of God. Hold us who wait before Thee, near to the heart of God. There is a name I long to hear, I love to sing its word. It sounds like music in my ear, the sweetest name on earth. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus, because He first loved me. It tells me of a Savior's love who died to set me free. It tells me of His precious blood, the sinner's perfect plea. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus, because He first loved me. It tells me what my Father hath in store for every day. And though I tread a darksome path, yield sunshine all the way. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus, because He first loved me. It tells of one whose loving heart can feel my deepest woe, who in His sorrow bears a part that none can bear below. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus, because He first loved me.
Pray. Father in heaven, thank you so much for your love and your mercy endures forever. Thank you for this Sabbath day as we come to worship you, for you are worthy of all our praise, and we give you the honor and the glory forever. And Father, we also want to give ourselves to you, because you are the one who have sent your Son to redeem us to redeem us from this sinful self of ours, as well as from sin and death. We thank you and we praise you, and as we move forward in this service, we seek to glorify you and give honor to your holy name. And may the redeemed of the Lord say so, in Jesus' name, amen.
And happy Sabbath again. I'm so glad that you're joining us with us today. My name is Pastor James, and I would like to make a special appeal today. You know, I was on the phone, and I contacted someone from the conference office, and you know, they said something very interesting. They said, you know, while that across the North American division, there has been an increase in online giving. Praise the Lord. You know, God has his faithful people everywhere. Now, some of you say, well, what is online giving? Well, I'm glad that you asked. Let me tell you about it. Online giving is very simple to do. You know, we live in the 21st century, and now we're so connected. We're connected not just with the internet, but we're also connected with by our phones. And if you have a smartphone, like I'm holding right here, there is actually an app in which you can download, either an Android or for your iPhone or whatever it may be, and it's called Adventist Giving. It has kind of a green background with a handout, and has a like a coin in the middle of the hand. I always thought that that looked kind of like the hand of Jesus reaching out to us. And for those of you who would like to return your faithful tithe and offerings, that is one way that you can do that, is through Adventist Giving online. Also, if you'd like to do it another way, you can go to the Central Point Seventh-day Adventist Church website, and there's information there on how you can do that. Now, for those who would prefer to just use a tithe envelope and would like to fill out a check or put your cash in a tithe envelope, you can do that. So if you don't have tithe envelopes, please contact us. We'll make sure that you get one. Or you can put it in an envelope. Just make sure and mark it. If you put it in a standard envelope, mark where it is to go to. And the P.O. Box for the Central Point Church is P.O. Box 3039, Central Point, Oregon. Or if you're doing sending in your tithe and offerings to the Shady Point Church, that is P.O. Box 1089, and that's in Eagle Point, Oregon. Again, I just want to say thank you. God is working in spite of these crazy experiences that we're going through. God is working. And we're going to see some interesting things come out of this. I know as I was talking with that same person that I mentioned before, they said that there were some churches that were kind of on the edge. They were thinking about live stream, but not quite doing that. Well, anyways, this COVID-19 has pushed them over the edge, and they have taken flight. It's kind of kicked them out of the nest, so to speak, and they are off and going. And we praise the Lord, and I just want to thank the team here. For everyone who has come together to make this happen. Next week, I do want to give a special announcement. Next week, we are going to be recording this program at the Shady Point Church. So, and we have a excellent speaker lined up for that. It's not me. I just want to let you know that. But we have an excellent speaker, and I'm already excited about it. Okay. So at this point in time, we're going to go right into our scripture reading for this morning, and then we're going to have the message.
Happy Sabbath. Today's scripture reading is in 2 Kings chapter 6, verse 15 through 17. 2 Kings chapter 6, 15 through 17. And I'm reading from the New King James Version. And when the servant of the man of God arose early and went out, there was an army surrounding the city with horses and chariots. And his servant said to him, "Alas, my master, what shall we do?" So he answered, "Do not fear, for those who are with us are more than those who are with them." And Elisha prayed and said, "Lord, I pray, open his eyes that he may see." Then the Lord opened the eyes of the young man, and he saw. And behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire all around Elisha. May God give blessing to the reading of his word.
Before we open God's word, let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Father in heaven, Lord, I can't think of a better prayer to pray right now, that you would open our eyes. Open our eyes to see. That's one of the problems that Laodicea has, is that they are blind. And today we are going to read a story. We're going to dig deeply into a powerful story about a young man who could not see. Or at least he was focusing in the wrong place. But because of a prayer, a powerful prayer, his eyes was opened. And he was able to see what he couldn't see just moments before. I pray that same prayer, that you would open my eyes, open my mind, open up my heart to the working of the Holy Spirit, so that I may communicate to your people who are watching this program. I thank you for hearing this prayer. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, I don't know how your week has been. My week has been interesting. You know, in fact, I would say it's not just my week, but the last couple weeks have just gone like none other. And last week, we focused on fear, faith and fear. We've been going through this series on faith and talking about faith in its many contexts. And it's not by chance that we're actually focusing on faith at this point in time, because right now, as we see with each passing day, there the mounting numbers of people infected with the coronavirus seems to be capturing our society, and everywhere that you turn, whether on social media or whether on the standard media or the television or the radio, everybody is talking about COVID-19. I have never in my life seen anything quite like this. And there is a tendency to feel the tentacles of fear begin to grip our hearts. So last week, we focused on the fear factor, faith and the fear factor. Unfortunately, if you were one of the 17 people that tried to tune in last week, let me just say, we gave it our best shot. We prayed earnestly. And by the way, while I'm on that topic, there is a copy of that sermon. In fact, Bill, why don't you get a copy of, bring that up here, and let me show the audience. You can get your very own copy of that message, and it's called Faith and the Fear Factor. Show it right here. Get a copy of this. You'll want to listen to this. This is a very powerful message, and it wasn't because I was the one preaching it. It's because the Holy Spirit was using, was speaking, and I felt this presence of God's Holy Spirit working. So if you would like to get a copy of this, please contact us and let us know, because we want to put a copy of this into your hand. It is a message for the hour. But the reality is that there are two things. There are two opposites. And we've been talking about faith. Faith is on the one side, but the complete opposite is doubt. Or some people would say unbelief. Okay, so you have faith over here, you have doubt over here. There is an emotion attached with each one of these. Now, we don't typically think of this, but on the side of doubt, as we saw last week, on the side of doubt is the emotion of fear. Fear is closely associated with doubt. And then when you look at faith, and that's what we're going to talk about today, when we talk about faith, there is also an emotion that is associated with faith, and that is confidence, courage, strength. And so today we're going to be looking at that in the context of a passage of Scripture in 2 Kings. 2 Kings. Now, you can go ahead and turn in your Bible. 2 Kings, we're going to be spending quite a bit of time here. 2 Kings chapter 6. And we're going to be looking at a very, very powerful story. It's a story that is one of Elisha's 14 miracles, recorded miracles. Now, I've heard this. I haven't looked this up. But I've heard that Elijah, the Old Testament prophet, had 7 recorded miracles. Okay, Elijah was probably one of the most fiery, iconic prophets of the entire Old Testament. In fact, there aren't many prophets that are referred to again and again in the New Testament, but Elijah is one. Okay, so Elijah was this fiery prophet. I mean, he's calling down fire on Mount Carmel. He calls down fire on the 50 soldiers, not once, but twice, and burns up those soldiers. So he's a fiery prophet. He stands fearless in the face of all this opposition. Of course, he had a fall and he ran. But the point is this, is that Elijah was one of the most powerful Old Testament prophets. But Elisha, on the other side, Elisha was more of a quiet person. But don't mistake the fact that he's quiet with the fact that God did not use him in a powerful way. You know, some people think that, oh, the only people that God uses are the preachers that stand up and just pound the pulpit. That's not true. God uses people that are quiet too. And you know, Elisha went around, and you know what? The Bible records that there were twice as many miracles that Elisha did. And when we get to the New Testament, you have these two prophets who are also symbolized in the ministry of John the Baptist, who was, again, this fiery prophet. He had a very short ministry, probably only about 6 months. And then you have the symbolic Elisha, which was Jesus. Now, who did more miracles? Of course, Jesus did way more miracles. In fact, John the Baptist didn't perform any miracles, and yet he preached a very powerful message. So here we're in 2 Kings chapter 6, and we're talking about Elisha, one of Elisha's miracle stories. 2 Kings chapter 6, verse 8 says, "The king of Syria warred against Israel and took counsel with his servants, saying, 'In such and such a place shall be my camp.'" Now, the king of Syria and the king of Israel were at war. In fact, during the kings, it says that typically during the spring and the summer months, they would spend a lot of time fighting each other. And so here, the king of Syria was fighting against the king in Israel. And notice that this is the 10 northern tribes. Now, if you remember, I think I mentioned in a previous sermon that the 10 northern tribes did not have one single good king. Jeroboam was the first king, all the way to the very last king. Every single king in the 10 northern tribes was wicked. They were all idolaters. There was not one good one in there. So, and that makes it very interesting as we look at this story. Well, anyways, the king of Syria is warring against the king of Israel, and he says, "I'm going to place my camp." Now, the King James doesn't really put it, but the idea is he's setting an ambush. He's going to set an ambush, and he's going to try to either capture or kill the king of Israel. Notice what happens. "And the man of God," now that's a term for Elisha, "the man of God sent unto the king of Israel, saying, 'Beware that thou pass not such a place, for thither the Syrians are come down.'" Verse 10, "And the king of Israel sent to the place where the man of God told him and warned him of, and saved himself there not once nor twice." So this happened repeatedly. And I find this is an amazing story. Why? Because God shows his grace towards the undeserving. Isn't that right? God shows his grace towards an idolatrous king who is worshiping false gods. And God gives the message, probably in a dream or a vision, probably in a dream. And Elisha tells the king of Israel, don't go by this place because the Syrians are camped there and they're ready to ambush you. Well, you can imagine that this doesn't happen too many times before the king of Syria begins to suspect that there's a spy. You know, nobody likes a tattletale. And so it says, verse 11, therefore the heart of the king of Syria was sore troubled. Now, when a king gets angry, people lose their heads, okay? He was sore troubled for this thing, and he called his servants and said unto them, will ye not show me which of us is for the king of Israel? He's angry. He's upset. Somebody is telling the king of Israel. Verse 12, one of his servants said, none, my lord, O king, but Elisha the prophet. You know what? Let me put a pause right here. How in the world did these servants know that Elisha was doing this? This is just an amazing story all the way around, but they knew that in Israel there was a prophet. And so they said, none of us are telling your secret plans, O king, but Elisha the prophet that is in Israel telleth the king of Israel the words that thou speakest in thy bedchamber. So when you talk in your sleep, guess what? The king of Israel gets to hear exactly what you said. Now that's pretty amazing. And he said, so the king said, go spy where he is that I may send and fetch him. I want to capture him, get him alive. And it was told him, saying, behold, he is in Dothan. Now, Dothan was a small town, wasn't well fortified, and Elisha happened to be there. So, verse 14, it says that the king of Syria sent thither horses and chariots and a great host. And they came by night and compassed the city about. So they're coming at night. It has to do with surprise. You know, you'll read throughout the Bible that there are numerous attacks. When do they attack? They attack at night. Because why? Stealth. That's right. It's stealth technology. It's the oldest known to man. You come by night, you surround your enemy, and then at a given point in time, you attack. You attack. And so here, they surround this the city of Dothan. And a great host. So he's not sending just one or two, just a few people. No, he sends the entire army. So you have here, just imagine this, the entire Syrian army just surrounding this small city. And in that city is one man. One man versus an entire army. Now you would look at the odds of that and you would say, this is not going to be a contest at all. They came by night, they compassed the city about. Now watch what happens, what develops in the morning. Verse 15, and when the servant of God, the man of God, was risen early and gone forth, behold, an host compassed the city both with horses and chariots. We would say battle tanks, okay, those are, okay. And his servant said unto him, alas, my master, how shall we do, or what shall we do? So evidently the servant woke up early, probably going about his servantly duties. I don't think that Elisha was one to sleep in, but this young man gets up and he rubbing sleep out of his eyes as he's coming out the door, and he's just about ready to go do his thing. And all of a sudden he catches the sun, the early morning sun is coming over the hill. It catches some metallic shield or armor, and he realizes, wow, there's soldiers over there. And then he begins to look around and he pan. Everywhere he looks, soldiers. Soldiers. And he is terrified. He's terrified. He goes back to Elisha and he says, alas, my master, what shall we do? Now Elisha was not afraid. And Elisha answered, fear not. I find it interesting throughout the Bible, whenever God's people are filled with faith, what kind of emotion are they feeling? Are they feeling fear? No, they are feeling confidence, courage. And here, Elisha says to his servant, who is clearly rattled, he says, "Fear not." And then he gives an insight here. "For they that be with us are more than they that be with them." And Elisha prayed and said, "Lord, I pray thee, open his eyes that he may see." And the Lord opened his eyes, the eyes of the young man, and he saw, and behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire around about Elisha. So in one moment, this young man comes out, and all he can see is soldiers. All he can see is this enemy army. It is hopeless. It is a hopeless situation. And his focus is on this army that is soon going to capture their city and take them captive. And Elisha says, "Open his eyes." And God answers the prayer of his prophet. God opens this young man's eyes, and all of a sudden, he is dazzled. It says the mountain is full. Full of what? Full of horses and chariots of fire round about Elisha. Now think about that, because in those days, it's good to have an army, but when you had horses and chariots, that was like battle tanks. This was the cavalry. This was the armor, the armored division. And so here is the armored division of heaven, and it is not just physical, this is spiritual. They are of fire. Now, we know from this story that when Elisha's mentor, was taken to heaven, what was he taken in? A chariot of fire. That's right, but that was only one. Now, could you imagine an entire mountain filled with chariots of fire? And notice it, these fiery chariots are all surrounding, according to the Bible, surrounding Elisha the prophet. Oh, I love that story, because I wish sometimes that God would open our eyes and we could be able to see. You know, Ellen White says something very interesting. She says, if we could have our eyes open just for a couple of seconds to see the great controversy that is going on around about us, it would change us and would change the way that we focus on things. And that is so true. That is so true. If we were able to see through spiritual eyes and see those chariots of fire, what would there be to be afraid of? There would be nothing to be afraid of. Now, notice what happens. And when they came down to him, who's the him? That's Elisha. So you imagine, here's the sun is coming up. The soldiers are all coming down straight towards Dothan. This is going to be a walk in the park. This is going to be, it's a non-defensible town. What can they do against an army this big? So they're coming down. You can imagine they're probably laughing. They're probably joking as they're coming down. And notice what happens. Elisha prayed to the Lord. Now, when Elisha prays to the Lord, every time in the Bible it says that Elisha prays to the Lord, something miraculous happens, okay? So here he goes. Elisha prayed to the Lord and said, "Smite this people, I pray thee, with blindness." Now, actually, that's a kind thing, because Elisha could have said, "Smite them with death," and they would have fallen over dead. But you know what? Elisha was about something more than just winning the battle. Elisha was trying to win their hearts. And I think it's important for us as Christians to realize that it's not just about winning a battle with someone. It's about winning a heart. Winning a heart. And so here he says, "I pray, Lord, smite this people, I pray thee, with blindness." Instantly, says God, smote them with blindness according to the word of Elisha. Now here, The tables are turned. All of a sudden, you have an entire army, and they can't see. And they're, you can imagine, they're, you know, trying to feel their way around. Hey, what happened? I can't see anything. Somebody turn out the lights. And Elisha, so bold, he goes out to them. He goes out to them. And Elisha said unto them, "This is not the way, neither is this the city. Follow me, and I will bring you to the man whom you seek." But he led them to Samaria. Somebody asked me, "Wow, that kind of sounds like a lie. Is the prophet of the Lord telling a lie?" No, I think the Lord put that message on his heart. Remember, Elisha was being moved by the Holy Spirit, and God was trying to capture the hearts of this evil king. And so he says, I'm going to show you the man whom you seek. Now think about that. They were looking for a prophet of the Lord. And here, God is going to show them who Elisha really is. Isn't that amazing? He's going to show them the man that they are seeking is one that forgives his enemies, one that does no wrong to those who hate him and are trying to hurt him. Elisha is playing the part of what Jesus said on the Sermon on the Mount. You know, pray for those who despitefully use you and persecute you. Elisha is playing exactly that part. So he leads them. He leads them to the city of Samaria. Gets them all inside. Close the doors. And then Elisha prays again. And you know what's going to happen? When Elisha prays, things happen. So Elisha said, "Lord, open the eyes of these men that they may see." And boom! The Lord opened their eyes, and they saw, and behold, they were in the midst of Samaria. Now, what do you think? If you were a Syrian soldier, you're blind, you don't know exactly where you're going, a strange person comes up and says, "Hey, this is not the place, this isn't the person that you're looking for, let me show you where you need to be." Well, at that point in time, you're kind of handicapped. And so this prophet leads the entire army into Samaria, they close the doors, and he prays again. They open up their eyes, and they realize, we are in deep weeds. We are in trouble. The king of Israel said unto Elisha, and when he saw them, he said, "My father." Now that was a statement of respect. The king of Israel, you know, he's just rubbing his hands in delight. He sees this entire thing happening, and he just can't believe his good fortune. He's going to be able to strike one decisive blow, and the entire Syrian army is going to be wiped out. One decisive blow. So he's like, "My father, shall I smite them? Shall I smite them?" And he answered, this is Elisha, "Thou shalt not smite them. Wouldest thou smite those whom thou hast taken captive with thy sword and with thy bow? Set bread and water before them, that they may eat and drink and go to their master." Wow. Now that is an incredible man. You see, Elisha says, "Follow me, and I'm going to show you the man that you're looking for." Did they see the man that they were looking for? Yes, they saw a Christ-like character in the character of the prophet, Elisha. One that said, "Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing." One that would forgive them even though they were coming against him to hurt him. Fortunately, the king of Israel was smart enough to realize that what Elisha was saying was a good thing. And it says he prepared great provision for them. And when they had eaten and drunk, he sent them, this is the king, sent them away. And they went to their master. So the bands of Syria came no more into the land of Israel. Isn't that amazing? Here was an amazing story of how God was able to take a most impossible situation and turn it completely around. Why? Because of one man's faith. One man's faith. You know, the reality is we're living in an entirely different situation. The fact that we're recording this program right now, really, I mean, you know as well as I do that the last 2 weeks, our world has been turned upside down. And every time I look at the news, in fact, I've been looking at the news less and less and less, and I hope you are too, because the more I look at the news, the more I feel what emotion right over here? I feel fear. That's right. And the point is this, is that if we focus on the armies that are surrounding us and all the problems that are surrounding us, what is that going to do? Is that going to build our faith? Absolutely not. That's going to bring about fear and doubt and distrust. And so we need to focus not on the armies that surround us, not on the situations that we're facing. And I know that there's somebody probably going to watch this that says, I'm facing a difficult situation. I'm out of a job right now. I can't go to work. How can I pay my rent? How can I buy food? How can I pay clothing? How can I do all these things that I'm supposed to do without money? And you know, the Lord is speaking to your heart right now. And he's saying, right? He says, do not look at the army. Those that are with us are more than those that are with them. Fear not. Fear not. The reality is that surrounding us at any given point in time, we have angels as soldiers, chariots of fire, horses of fire, surrounding us. We don't need to be afraid. Don't look at the army. Don't look at the situation that you're facing. Focus on Jesus. You know, faith or doubt is going to follow what we focus on. You know, Peter was one day was on the lake. Jesus had told the disciples, get into a boat, go across to the other side. Jesus went up on a mountain to pray. And it says that as Jesus was praying, that the boat became caught in a storm. And Jesus came to his disciples walking on the water. Now, the disciples are at first trying to bail out the water, and they're trying to stay afloat. And all of a sudden, one of them catches a sight of this apparition, what they think is an apparition, coming across the water towards them, and they cry out in fear. In fear, because they think it's a ghost. And Jesus says, don't be afraid, it is I. And Peter says, Lord, if it is you, ask me to come to you on the water. Jesus says, come, come. So Peter gets out of the boat and he starts walking towards Jesus. And guess what? As he is focusing on the master, as he is fixing his eyes upon Jesus, what happens to his faith? His faith is strong. His courage is strong. The Bible doesn't leave the story there. It says that Peter, when he began to see the wind, now you can't really see wind, but you can see what the wind does, right? As he began to look at the wind, all of a sudden, another emotion enters his heart. What emotion is that? Fear. And as he began to see the wind and the waves and whatever, fear began to fill his heart, and doubt and distrust, and he began to sink. And he cries out, Lord, save me. Three words. One of the shortest prayers in the Bible. And Jesus instantly reaches out, grabs him by the hand, lifts him up, and says, where is your faith, Peter? Where is your faith? Why were you so afraid? And together they walk side by side and get into the boat. But that's the reality, because faith has a focal point, but also doubt has a focal point too. And if we fix our eyes upon Jesus, and in the Old Testament story, upon the chariots of fire and the horses of fire, We have nothing to be afraid because those that are with us are more than those that are with them. But the moment we take our eyes off of those chariots of fire, off of the beautiful face of Jesus, and we focus on the situation that is surrounding us, fear fills our hearts. Well, the Bible says that at the end of time, that the winds of strife are going to be let go. Let me suggest that this is just the beginning. Some people think this is the time of trouble. This isn't the time of trouble. This isn't even the beginning of the time of trouble. We haven't seen anything yet. The point is this, is that when those winds of strife are let go, it's going to create a storm like we've never seen before. And the Bible says, Jesus says, that men's hearts will be failing them for what? For fear. What emotion is associated, what emotion is fear associated with? Doubt and distrust. They are focusing, just like Peter did, they are focusing on the wind, they are focusing on the storm, and they will sink. So as I finish this message, I said it last week, I'm going to say it again, and I'm going to say it as many times as I have to say it. We need to pay attention to what we're focusing on. My friends, my brothers and sisters, we need to be fixing our eyes on things above, not on things of this world. Now, some of you say, well, how do we know what's going on in the world? Trust me, it's not hard. People will tell you. But if you have to go and you have to watch a news broadcast, that's okay. But the point is this, let's not fixate on the storm. Let's not fixate on the storm. Let's not keep watching or listening to programs that will bring fear to our hearts. I was talking with my dad recently, and he was telling me about some things that people were sending to him. And he says, I don't even read that anymore, because it just does nothing but bring fear to my heart. And I said, that's exactly right. So I suggest to you, I just want to suggest to you, spend time focusing on Jesus. How do we do that? Through his word, through prayer, fixing our eyes upon Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. He brought us this far. He's not going to leave us alone. He's going to carry us completely through. So let's fix our eyes on Jesus. Jesus is going to take us through to the finish line. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Father in heaven, I thank you so much that we can put our faith and our trust completely and utterly in you. You are mighty. You are awesome. You are holy. You are righteous. But you are the author and the finisher of our faith. Lord, please help us not to fall for the devil's tricks, the devil's gimmicks, to look elsewhere, to distract us from looking to Christ, from praying to Christ, from focusing on things which are eternal. The devil wants us to focus on things of this earth because they are passing away. Help us, Father, to remain faithful and true until we cross that finish line, is our prayer. In Jesus' name, amen. I want to thank you for joining us today. And I want to just invite you to come back this next week. We are going to continue to stream or to do this program next week and the following week until we're able to meet back together. So I invite you to not just come, but also invite your friends, your family members to come. We're going to keep focusing on how we can have faith, how we can be strong through this time of uncertainty, a time where people are feeling fear in their hearts. We don't have to be afraid, because we know how this story is going to end. And it has a powerful ending, and because Jesus is in charge. Okay, so thank you for coming, and thank you for being a part of this service. God bless.